today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, Code Pen Radio, episode number 173. We're going to talk about email again, something that I just love, not ironically or kiddingly at all. I think it's very, it's just a great thing. I'm going to hold off for a minute on all my telling you how much I love it, because we have, there's three of us on the show. Marie Mosley's here, of course. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
And Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. We've talked with Jake on this podcast before about a big fancy feature of CodePen that none of you will ever see called ETL. Which is this fancy database transformation thingy, but one of the big reasons that any app does ETL, and a lot of them do, it's this idea that you have your production database, but then like regularly-ish, you like move it over to another app, but you transform the data on its way to make it more useful for doing other things, like analyzing what's going on in your application. But another huge use case for it is sending email. So we have this kind of alternate universe of CodePen that we run, and we've talked about it before because we do it for all of our emails. It's for the CodePen Spark, which probably many of you get. It's for our transactional emails, which are emails like somebody hearted your pen and you have your settings enabled to get emails when somebody hearts your pen so you see it, or you want a password reset email. That's probably the most canonical, obvious example of a transactional email. This new thing in CodePen, and honestly, it was just recently we wrapped this up, it's now sending 100% of all email that comes out of CodePen through this ETL system. So there's the Spark. There's the transactional emails. There's challenge emails. We've talked about challenges a little bit. There's all these different types of emails that CodePen sends out. Here's another one, drip emails. Do you think everybody in the world knows what a drip email is? What is a drip email, Marie?
I would doubt that everybody knows what a drip email is.
Well, how about the audience of this show?
I bet you that everybody that listens to this show receives drip email, and not just from us. It's the email that you get when you sign up for an app or a service, or even sometimes when you sign up at an e-commerce site, where over time, after you sign up, you'll start to receive email that either is educational and tells you about the product, or entices you to buy something or upgrade, or, you know, eventually over time shows you bits and pieces of the thing that you've signed up for.
It's a metaphor. Drip, drip,
yep.
Drip, drip, drip. It hits you with email, and I think I would think that the reason that it's done generally is engagement. Like, don't forget about me.
Yes.
I exist. Come back.
That's the soul of drip, I think. Although there's also, when you have something complex like CodePen, it serves an educational purpose and not necessarily a reminder purpose. It's just like, here are all the things you can do with this big tool that you now have access to.
Well, that was certainly our goal on it. So in the history of it kind of is that you sign up for CodePen. This is before ETL ever existed. You sign up for CodePen, you get an email immediately that says, hey, hi, welcome to CodePen. You should probably have that because it's useful-ish. You know, it's proves that you signed up and when you signed up, and it has a link to your profile. And we've used it as an opportunity to tell you a few basic things about CodePen and say, oh, you need help. You know, it's like any other sign-up email you've ever gotten in your life. It's not like we were reinvented the world with our sign-up email. And then somewhere down the line, we decided it would be nice to follow up a few days later. And I think we sent you one more that's like, did you know? And like add a few more things that would tell you stuff about CodePen. It sent like the next day or two or three days later. I can't even remember. And that was our one drip email. We sent one and we sent it to everybody, and that was that.
Yep.
And we kind of had on our to-do list for a long time, like, oh, it would be so cool to like blow this out, yo. And just send like a lot more of them, because this was all mixed into internal conversations we were having that was like, I don't know, we need to start fighting churn better. That would be so good for our business. And CodePen is such a complicated app. It would be so great to, you know, really do a better job of teaching people all the features of CodePen, because we have all this evidence that people don't really know all the stuff that CodePen can do, right?
Well, yeah, it's tricky to know everything that this app does, especially when you're first getting started. because there's just so much to it. And yeah, we would occasionally realize that people who had been with us for even like long stretches of time weren't familiar with stuff that we considered to be fairly basic things, like being able to change your syntax highlighting theme and things like that, which are account settings that we kind of thought everybody already knew. So yeah, we definitely have realized over time that our product that we all know inside and out is not so familiar to everyone else.
Right. And we thought, oh God, if they did know all the features, they'd, in a sense, become better customers because they would use us more, because they'd understand all the possibilities, and maybe they'd, like, some percentage less of them would leave if they went pro or whatever. Just higher engagement, and that's just good for everybody. So I think it was me who was probably the most excited about Drip. I was like, I'm going to do this. I had them written up, and then I made, like, a spreadsheet of which things I want to send on which day, and we planned this forever. And then we finally had ETL, and then ETL went out, and it wasn't one of the like very first features that dropped in ETL, but it was on the radar forever. And I was like, okay, it's time to do this. You know, we eventually made time for it, and we had something. Jake, do you even remember how many? It was like over. It was 20-ish.
Yeah, like over a span of like your first 60 days at CodePen or something, you'd get like 20 emails.
Yeah, maybe even more in a less period. It was like 25 and 40 days or something like that. It was around that, but it was a little heavy, you might say, on your average of your average drip campaign. And I don't, but what is an average drip campaign? I don't even know exactly. It's not like we did like loads of industry research on this, but all of them were educational in a way. So we thought of them as primarily educational. I think even internally we refer to like the, what would you call it? Like the bucket that they're in our,
we're calling it a classification. Yeah. That's the,
and it's in the education classification.
Yeah.
Right.
So like if you unsubscribe from it, you're unsubscribing from educational email. We have different classifications that you can unsubscribe from.
Okay. So that was shortly ago is when we had that going. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of things happened. There was a little bit of feedback that our email load was a little too heavy. And it wasn't necessarily all drip, but it was like sign up in conjunction with social emails, in conjunction with challenges, in conjunction with drip. It was kind of like if you audited all that in kind of a worst case scenario, you'd have a lot of emails from CodePen just after signing up. And that's like, it's like, whoa, you know, slow your horses? Is that a
yeah. You could have a situation where if you signed up for CodePen, like let's say you signed up on Sunday afternoon, US Sunday afternoon for CodePen, and you also, while you were there, signed up for the challenges, because that is a separate email list, you would get the welcome to CodePen email. You would get the verify your
verification email.
Yeah. You would also you would get the challenge email if you signed up for it, and you would get the Spark. And then like 2 days later, you'd get a drip. And if anybody interacted with you, you would also get follow notifications, heart notifications, all that type of stuff. So yeah, you could, you know, on Monday get like six emails in your inbox, all from CodePen from having signed up on Sunday afternoon. So we realized that was maybe a bit much.
Okay, so there's that. And there wasn't like swarms of people yelling at us, but we were kind of like, we try to be sensitive to that kind of thing, even though maybe we weren't being as sensitive as we could have been. Well, we were inventing the idea of it.
Well, we learned from feedback.
And so we're like, but this is more importantly almost, is that we had some advice come our way that, you know, kind of paid for advice that with a contractor that gave us other very good advice. So they came as a, you know, kind of trusted advice that there's not a lot of evidence out there that drip just automatically works, you know, that like that like doing drip is free money in a way, business wise or something. Like it's just not great always. And we have no integrated into these 25 emails, let's say they were, there wasn't any like inherent tracking. There was no success metric that we were measuring and could look at and say, this is better. And we turn it up to 30 and it got better. Or we turn it down to 15 and we didn't have any of that stuff in place. It was very just like, I hope this is good. And we're trying to do less of, I hope this is good, and more of like, can we prove somehow that this is useful to people and they like it and it's good for business in some way? And he also said, because you're not tracking it, you might actually be doing some harm in a way. And that's the scariest part. And the harm is, like Jake said, this is in the educational classification system. You can, and when they're, the way that that matters to users is that you can unsubscribe from a whole classification. So let's say you get a drip and you're like, this is obnoxious. Of course, we have an unsubscribe link in the footer. You unsubscribe from that. And there's two options for unsubscribing. One of them is just like nuclear. I never want to get another email from CodePen again, because you kind of have to offer that. Mm-hmm. And then one of them is just like, I don't want emails like in this genre. I want to opt out of the education spectrum. Both of them, you know, are good to have because it's good UX, but are negative things from a business perspective. You've lost them.
Right.
You can't talk to them anymore. They're not useless to you forever. I mean, maybe you'll get them to upgrade in the app, or maybe they still love CodePen. They just hate email. All those are fine, but from an email-only perspective, you've lost them, which is unfortunate because it means that, like, maybe there was a message that we could have gotten that person that wouldn't have lost them.
Yeah, I mean, you get into a situation where you can't reach them in their inbox in that category. And yeah, something that could be useful to them or appealing to them in the future, we can't send it to them. We've agreed that we won't. We're supposed to. Once you unsubscribe, it's over.
Literally forever.
Yeah.
And you know, what are the chances of somebody logging into a web app, going to their email settings and saying, oh, I'd like to start getting email again from you.
Probably nobody does that. I can't imagine it.
I mean, we'd have to have an incentive campaign we'd have to do something really above and beyond to get anybody back into that category. And it's probably not worth it. You know, just that, whatever. We lost them. We'll get new people on the next round.
I think also sometimes people have different preferences for how they like to be communicated with. Like perhaps they don't particularly want to get email. Their email box is too full for whatever reason, but they still follow on Twitter or, you know, look at the Instagram or whatever. There's lots of different ways to reach people. So it's not a total end of your relationship with your customer. It's just not in their email inbox.
Sure. I mean, maybe they unsubscribe because they prefer to just follow us on Twitter and get mm-hmm. the news that way or something. Oh, great. Good. Cool. Anyway, I guess what we decided to do, though, is like, well, because we're not tracking this and because there's not a lot of evidence that it's like incredibly successful or anything, and if anything, there's evidence that people don't like it, let's just tone ourselves down a bit. So we reduced like 20 plus to like 3. And they're spaced out a little bit more. They're more rich with the stuff in it, because to some degree they're combined with other things. But that's that kind of for now. That's where we're at.
And Jake was involved in that, right? Like you were part of cutting down the group and deciding what was the best stuff to send, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we kind of took the position that, like, you know, we don't want our emails to kind of just be like one-off little tweets, you know, something that you could fit into a tweet. And so I think we did a good job of kind of consolidating information to make it a better email. If the goal is for it to educate people about a thing, I think we did a better job of kind of like making them a little bit more substantial so that you don't kind of feel like, well, this was a waste of time opening this email.
Again, we're still not really tracking these few, but we're in like less of a danger zone. And we are, it's not like we're just like, you know, like tracking so important and then just did nothing about it. We are doing some stuff with it, but in a kind of a different way. We're sending some different types of emails to smaller groups of people. You know, big surprise, you know, apps do A/B testing kind of stuff like this. We're in a sense doing A/B testing on some marketing-ish emails to people who are opted into that world. And we're going to get some information from that. Some of those tests are even like, what format of email works better? For example, like a very exotic, you know, HTML email that's full of styling and grids and colors and GIFs and things, because that just, for whatever reason, that just feels like a marketing email. And it gives you this opportunity to like show off your interface. And maybe that's the thing that trips somebody's trigger in their mind is like, oh, that's so cool, I'm going to upgrade. You have more opportunity to show people stuff in that way. But it, you know, in a sense, it, you open it up and you're like, clearly this is a marketing email. Maybe you lose some people just through muscle memory of that experience. And so we send basically the same information in another email that's just text. It's pretty much, it's still an HTML email, so you can have some links and some nice typography, but there's no pictures, there's no, it's just text only. And we're kind of competing them against each other. I have no data to share with you on this podcast because it's new to us yet, but we're very interested to see how that pans out. And that's going to inform future email decisions that we can make.
I'm curious about that. I honestly have no idea which one's going to do better, but I was thinking about it and I realized that, you know, a more HTML heavy email, one with graphics and stuff like that, if you're opening it on your phone, you might not see it all that quickly, or, you know, it's not as easy to read as just a plain text email. So I almost wonder if the plain text is going to do better. Just, I mean, I open so much of my email on my phone. I don't know if everybody does, but I do. And mm-hmm. I know that I would see more of the text of an all text email on my phone. I also use one of those little tiny phones, so that might be a factor.
Right, you might have to scroll down to see the whole header on the
exactly. Yeah, I've got the SE, so that's the little tiny one.
This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you by An Event Apart, my personal favorite, absolutely my personal favorite conference series. It's an event. It's like a traveling event. So it's, you know, coming soon to a U.S. city near you. It's coming to Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Orlando, San Francisco. Go check them out at aneventapart.com. Go to /CodePen. Use coupon code AEACP for $100 off. You might as well. And I really encourage you to go. You know, they've been around a long time. They've been great history as a really good conference series. They pioneered the single track multi-discipline conference event. First to do it, still the best one. It focuses on speakers, but attendees as well. Of course, it's a combo educational experience. They're either 2-day or 3-day events. So, you know, check out, we'll see which one works in your life the most. And it's where you see kind of themes emerge in this industry. I think this is where it happens. You know, An Event Apart is where the most important developments in user-focused, standard-based web and interaction design kind of get their start. Responsive web design, first introduced at An Event Apart. Concepts like thinking mobile first and really digging into web fonts and typography, and now the new intrinsic web design that Jen Simmons is talking about. It all happens at An Event Apart. Wonderful conference series. Every aspect of the show, and this is what you really feel where you're there, is optimized for the best experience possible. You know, it's very comfortable there. Every chair has got a plug of its own. How nice is that? I can tell you that the Wi-Fi at these events, for personal experience, is wonderful, which is so often not the case. Impeccable food, impeccable lighting, great projection. Everybody can see everything. It's just very, you know, they've been doing this so long and they're so good at it. You can just feel it at the event. Again, go to aneventapart.com /CodePen and use AEACP for $100 off. World-class events. You know, and the attendees and the speakers, you're all hanging out together. Everybody eats lunch together. There's after parties where everybody's together, has Q&A together. It's wonderful. See you there. So we'll see. I mean, that's kind of the deal with Drip for us. We still send some of it. I'm still like encouraged by the concept of it. Like, I think apps can do it well. That's a topic we can cover really quickly. Can you in recent memory or any memory think of an app that's knocked it out of the park for you? That's been like, wow, I get emails from them regularly that are definitely in the Drip category, but they're good.
You know what? It's funny. I really, really love the email that I get from an app that I have never signed up for. So that's not really like a great example, but Help Scout sends out tremendous email. I read them all, but I have not signed up for the service. So.
Well, apparently they're terrible marketing emails.
they're really wow. good, though.
How'd you even get on the list? That's so interesting.
Oh, God knows. I sign up for everything.
Yeah. Well, that's cool to know. Maybe we'll have to... I want to see one of them in some degree. It's a customer support kind of app.
It is, yeah.
I signed up for an app called You Need a Budget, YNAB, that's apparently very kind of popular in the in that space and like personal budgeting kind of thing. And I get, you know, it's an email, I don't know if it's every day or every other day, maybe it feels like, and it's kind of like a personal letter from the founder thing, which is a little cheesy, you know, like, oh, this is Clark from Envision, you know, reply to this email, whatever. But like, I don't know, that's just an easy one to make fun of because everybody makes fun of it. But they're good. They like, I don't know, that for some reason they have me reading them, and I'm definitely not, you know, I don't read every marketing email I get, that's for sure. And they just kind of seem effective to me. And I have, you know, towards the end of my free trial, decided to upgrade to their paid plan on that particular service. So mission accomplished, I guess. And it's combo. It's not like I upgraded just because I got drip emails for them. I upgraded because I like the app too.
Right.
So it's definitely a 1-2 punch there.
What about you, Jake?
I don't know if I have ever received an email that I liked. I don't know if that makes me an old man or a young man. Like, does an old man love email?
I think it's young.
Yes. Yeah, speaking from the older contingent, I can say that, yes, we love that email.
I guess it makes me a super hip kid. But yeah. I sign up for, like, newsletters that I'm genuinely interested in. And I get one pop up in my inbox, and I'm just so mad. But I don't take it out on the people. It's just like I don't like it being there. I still keep subscriptions though to things that I think are meaningful. But I just instantly archive, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Because I do like an inbox zero thing. If I get an email, it's like someone walking up behind you and trying to pull down your pants or something. You know, it's just kind of like that, like, what are you doing here? You know?
That's so funny. My personal inbox is just packed with stuff. I don't read. I probably read 2% of what comes into my personal email box, but... but I just get everything. I'm signed up for everything.
Yeah. I feel like I don't have enough time to like read literature in my life. And I still don't understand, I would spend
some time reading It Better Be Tale of Two Cities.
But it's just like, do people really read all of that email?
No. I don't think anybody reads all of their email, but
yeah.
But I mean, I read quite a bit of email. I get, you know what? I read also the Medium email that has like a roundup of stuff that I might like. I read totally. That too.
I envy. Maybe it's just my like ability to concentrate because email kind of exists in the same world as productivity for me. Like I am literally the only time I'm checking email is if I am in the process of trying to do something. And maybe I think that might be where my, like if I'm out to eat and I get a newsletter, I'll probably skim through it, you know, at the table or something. But when I'm working, there is nothing worse than just getting an email.
This is fascinating to me.
Oh, I thought you were saying the opposite, that like I'm trying to figure something out, so I'll pop, you know, just to distract myself. Not just, but like just let my brain work on it. I'll like pop over an email. And
no, I mean, it's like the nagging coworker, you know, like Charlie coming over with the muffin while you're trying to get something done. And it's like, Charlie,
leave me alone. That's so funny. I guess it's just... I mean, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, where people just have different reactions to email arriving in their inbox. I kind of think of my email box as my mailbox. It's like, I'm going to get mail that I expect, and then I'm going to get weird stuff occasionally. And I just throw that in the recycling bin and move on with my day. But I think, yeah, there's like a difference in how much people even notice their email.
God, it's fascinating to me. Did you know that I actually started a blog about email, like unironically?
I did. I saw your post earlier today about asking about when people got their first email addresses.
Yeah, kind of, because it's, I don't know, I just have a million ideas that I've written down over like years of thinking about email. And they're all, you know, Miranda, my wife, was just like, these blog posts are you're just teaching people how to like put on their pants. You know, like there's, I don't have any points yet. You know, like I haven't actually like discovered anything useful or written about it yet, but I'm just starting. You know, I feel like I'm going to build to it over time. I don't know what my plan is, but I just have like, I have so many ideas here. I have to make a blog and I might even make it a podcast. This should be the first episode of that podcast. This is exactly what I want to dig into, like how you think about and deal with email, because everybody's got an email address. Right. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And it fits in this weird niche in society where you're more willing to share that with anybody ever. It's just like this public thing. Everybody's got one. Everybody will just give it away, whatever. And then like, but how do you use it? Does it bother you? Does it not bother you? Do you think of it as vital to your job, or do you think of it as a annoying side thing to your job? There's just so much to dig into there. And I have this, I think my angle to this thing is like, if you are annoyed by it or it's become this cumbersome thing in your life, you need to like sort that out, because it, yeah. It can be like all this good stuff that happens. If you know, when you're applying and changing jobs, when you're, you know, getting invited to conferences, when you're landing deals and partnerships with people and stuff, all that crap, all that good business stuff always happens over email, you know?
That's true.
There might be some phone calls involved, but like all the biggest, most important stuff in your life happens over email. So it's like, if you're not good at that, or it's just this world that you ignore, I think you're shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. But that's early, you know, maybe I'll change my tune as I talk to more people about it.
It's interesting. One thing that's great with email is the way that tools have evolved for managing it. I mean, I think as much as it's been a hassle for us as CodePen, the promotions tab in Gmail is personally useful to me, like on my own account. Just to clarify what I meant by that, a lot of email from us goes to the promotions tab, and people expect it to land in their main inbox, but it actually ends up filtered into promotions, and it makes it a little bit difficult for them to find it. But if you're used to that tabbing system in Gmail, it's really great for going through at a glance and just kind of seeing each of your email categories. And I find it super helpful for managing my email.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many, that's just like one, you know, other apps have different versions of that kind of thing. Even Gmail itself has both inbox and Gmail that treat things in kind of different ways that mm-hmm. are both similar in that way. I think all the tooling around email is fascinating as well. But kind of back to CodePen and in our world for it, another part of this, and this is, you know, maybe this is annoying to some people, but this is kind of the truth of it, is and here's a little bit of backstory. We've talked about sponsorships and advertising and that stuff before on the pie, and there's a, it's a small piece of the pie of the complete CodePen, but it's a big enough piece of that pie that we think about it and act on it and work on it. Still, you know, it's nothing like subscriptions or whatever, but it's just something that we do. You'll do well in that world the more kind of like real estate you have to offer a potential purse sponsor. Mm-hmm. And if you say, I found this to be more and more true recently. We have a podcast, we have display advertising. We have now we have these challenges, and that gives us some additional real estate for that kind of world. And we have the potential to reach our customer through email. So when you start having all those things and you can demonstrate what they are to a sponsor and say, look, you get all this, I think you're more likely to land that sponsor. It looks like a robust package that it is. And that's just good. It's been working, kind of. I don't know that it will work forever, or like we're just one example of the world of that, but it's led true to the other things that I work on. You know, like CSS Tricks, we have a blog and we sell sponsor posts. That's great, but there's display advertising too. And then, of course, we have a newsletter. And part of that was like, it'd be cool to have a newsletter, but it does give us some additional kind of sponsorship real estate. And then, so it's just to have so many options like that. So when you talk to a sponsor, you're like, you don't have to buy all of it. We can custom make a package that's just for you and slot people in different ways is great. And email can be part of that surface area for us at CodePen. So I just wanted to mention that that's a part of it. And we do not intend to like just start slamming you with sponsor emails, but it's there, you know. More likely it's like if you signed up for challenges, you get an email on Monday with the challenge. And it's got, you know, there's pictures of the challenge in there. There's ideas, there's resources, there's fun stuff in there. And then it'll also say, like, this month's challenges was brought to you by, except, you know, company. It's more like that.
That's expected. It comes along with the challenge. And you see that right when you are visiting challenges in the first place. So, yeah, it's just part of the deal. And I think it all works nicely together.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I guess, do you have any further thoughts on Drip? Did we miss anything?
I think that's about where we are with it now. I suppose once we have more information about like how this went and what we learned from this new iteration of Drip, we'll have more to talk about in the future.
That's a good point, that we have not proven that anything that we've done so far has been amazing. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to report back and tell you something that really worked, you know?
Once we learn something, we'll be able to tell everybody.
Ahoy. That's how I'll end it.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Six, zero, three, one, eight, six.